Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. We will give you some poll question results coming up in 20 minutes from now. You could always find it at Zach Gelb at CBS Sports Radio. Give us a follow, ZACHGELB. Where's your belief level at with Jalen Hurts? Franchise quarterback, good quarterback, or still not a believer? We will get to that coming up in a few moments, 855-212-4CBS. Last night, you saw two beatdowns on Monday Night Football. I would have thought for sure we would have got one good game. I thought the Bills were going to win. I didn't think the Bills were going to win 41-7, but the Buffalo Bills just continue to show why there was all this Super Bowl hype, why they are viewed as the best team in the league. And so far, they didn't even play their best up against the Rams. They won by 21. That was no slap you-know-what team. That team in the Los Angeles Rams just won a Super Bowl last year. And then last night, that was just a terrible performance by Tennessee. But even with how bad Tennessee was, I still just walk away from that game as my takeaway just being even more and more impressed by Buffalo. And when everyone tells you that this team is the best, this team is the greatest, it's tough to get impressed. Because like if I'm telling you this is the creme de la creme team, you know what you're getting yourself into. And through the first 2 weeks of the season, the Buffalo Bills continue to show that the hype is meeting reality. Now, Super Bowls aren't won. The trophy's not handed out in September. It's going to be a good game this weekend up against the Miami Dolphins. The Bills the next 4 or 5 weeks all the way through Halloween have some really good games up against some really good opponents. One of them is Kansas City, and I can't wait for that AFC divisional round matchup. So far, though, I have not been given a single reason why I should doubt Buffalo. The only reason why I didn't pick Buffalo to win the Super Bowl this year is because everyone was doing so. And I did a radio interview in one of our Rochester affiliates. And this was back in, let's say, May or June. And I said in May or June, they should win the Super Bowl this year. They are my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. And then, right before the start of the season, since everyone was going with Buffalo, I go, predictions are fun. And I'll go with the team that's been getting criticized, a quarterback that's getting criticized in Lamar Jackson, and take the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. That's my pick. If you don't like it, tough. I'm not going to sit here, though, and tell you I'm going to be shocked if the Bills win the Super Bowl. But this Bills team, Brandon Bean is a stud. Sean McDermott, stud. Josh Allen, superstar, stud. Stephon Diggs, he's got that dog in him. Gabe Davis, great player. Didn't even play last night. Offensive line, snowman, Deion Dawkins, stud, pro bowler. T for Temple U, baby. Defense, number one defense in the league last year, but they choked in the big spot. Who do they bring in? Von Miller, stud. Who are they missing right now because of injury? Trey White, stud. There's not a flaw with this team. The only thing you could tell me is you don't love their rushing attack. They're not even asking Josh Allen to run the football right now. He's a part of that rushing attack. And Devin Singletary goes through this 4 or 5 week stretch where he gets hot. James Cook could be a big key at the end of the season. He's got to not fumble the football. But I look at this team. There's no glaring flaw or weakness that you go, wow, they can't win because of that. And you just start to think of reasons why they won't win. And it's only 2 weeks in. And there will be a week or two where you start to doubt them. But right now, I can't doubt them. And I just look around and I'm trying to come up with what's a way that you could doubt Buffalo. And if you go up against Patrick Mahomes, maybe Mahomes just outscores you. Possible. We've seen it. If you go up against Tom Brady, do they have to, finally for Buffalo to win a Super Bowl after Brady kicking their ass for 20 years, do they have to slay Tom Brady in a Super Bowl to deliver a Lombardi? Yeah, plausible. I think the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl and out of the NFC. So I look around and I'm just so impressed with Buffalo. We're only two games in, and I didn't really think I'd be impressed because I knew that they were the best team in the league. On paper, they were the best team in the league, and everyone was saying it. Yeah, this Buffalo Bills team, take a line from Seinfeld, they're real and they're spectacular. There is no doubt about that when you look at the Buffalo Bills. And right now, there's no pimples. There's no blemishes on the resume. There's no flaws. There's nothing that you look at them and don't say, wow, they're a 10 out of 10. They're the smoking hot chick right now, the Buffalo Bills. Drop dead gorgeous 10 out of 10. Think about that. The Buffalo Bills are a drop dead gorgeous 10 out of 10 right now. We're talking about a franchise that's been tortured. We're talking about a franchise the last 20 years has been irrelevant. And right now, people want to be a part of the Buffalo Bills. People want to take from the Buffalo Bills. This has just been a remarkable last few years. And you got to win. You got to get the job done. But within the next 5 years, and I think the time is now, but if they don't have a Super Bowl within the next 5 years, I'd be shocked. Because your quarterback is that good. Your team is that good. This is a well-rounded team. It's not like, the offense can't get it done. The defense can't get it done. The coach stinks. No. This is a great team. This is an unbelievable team. So this Buffalo Bills team just took Tennessee to work last night, where they embarrassed and just destroyed Tennessee, that they said to Josh Allen, take the fourth quarter off. You could have the fourth quarter off. We don't need you. This game's over. Case Keenum in training camp, he was dressing up as he was a fan trying to get autographs from players. Yeah, we'll put Case Keenum into the game. And if you're a Bills fan right now, you got to be on cloud nine. And I know that there's always some sort of pessimism. There's always some sort of negativity, some skepticism. We've been tortured so many times if you're a Bills fan. We've been to four straight Super Bowls. We lost all four of them. You know, for 20 years, Brady kicked our ass and we saw the Patriots run of excellence. You know the moments. You know the torture. You know the heartbreak. I don't got to go through it if you're a Bills fan. And this year, even if you're the negative Nancy, even if you're the person that goes, yeah, I can't be happy. I don't want to be happy. I got to think eventually this the screw button's going to get hit. In the back of your mind, you know you got a chance to go win a Super Bowl this year. You should win the Super Bowl this year. So I look back at that Monday night game, Buffalo outstanding. Tennessee, your saving grace is the AFC South just sucks. The AFC South is embarrassing. 7-8 wins going to win that division. Indianapolis, 0-1-1. Hickey right now, hot take Hickey. He didn't even show up to work today because he got the Colts flu. He's down in the dumps. He's gutted. He didn't show up today, just like the Indianapolis Colts didn't show up on Sunday. But they stink. Their line's horrible now. Other than Michael Pittman, you don't got wide receivers. Jonathan Taylor's career is going to start to get wasted in Indianapolis. Jacksonville's leading that division. They're 1-1. And they're not a phenomenal football team. Tennessee, they made a dumb move this year getting rid of A.J. Brown. It benefited the Eagles greatly. But you look at A.J. Brown, that was a move that sent the message to the rest of the team. Yeah, we're not trying to win a Super Bowl. We've been close the last few years, and we're going to trade away, other than Derrick Henry, our most explosive player on offense. Like, what? That's what you're doing? And forget about the Texans. Davis Mills is your starting quarterback. That was one thing in the offseason I loved. Davis Mills played well his first year. Yeah, he was okay. But did you ever think that Davis Mills is going to be the long-term starting quarterback for the Houston Texans? No. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, whoever the young quarterback is that they're going to draft, Anthony Richardson, you know that they're going to go take a quarterback in the draft this year. So that game, Bills dominant, Bills looking like a Super Bowl team, and Tennessee, the only positive you have is that your division is the worst division in football, and it's not even close. Now, on the NFC side of the Monday night doubleheader last night, you had a Minnesota team going up against a Philadelphia team, in which I thought that was going to be a great game. High scoring, right towards the end, final 2 minutes. Would Hurts prevail? Would Kirk Cousins prevail? But then I forgot that Kirk Cousins is just horrendous on Monday Night Football. Now he's 2-10. He stinks in a primetime Monday night game. Justin Jefferson, who I think is the best wide receiver in the league, he got shut down by a tremendous Eagles secondary. Turnover after turnover after turnover, interception after interception after interception. That was embarrassing. That was a lethargic effort last night by the Minnesota Vikings. I still think they'll be a playoff team, though. I think they have too much talent on offense and a weak NFC not to make the playoffs, and I think they'll go 9-8. But that was a bad showing last night by Minnesota. But the most impressive part, or the biggest part from that game, was Jalen Hurts. I wondered going into this year, is Jalen Hurts the guy? Philadelphia put him in a position to succeed. They went out, they got A.J. Brown. They got Devontae Smith 2 years ago. They have a great offensive line. We know how good that Eagles defense can be. And Nick Sirianni, I can't believe I'm saying this, is actually a damn good coach. Which is wild, because the first few games of his tenure last year, I thought this dude was going to be one and done. Remember those flower comments and how you have to see the flower grow and all that? I'm like, what is this dude talking about? You coach in Philadelphia. You can't say that. But he adjusted. He ran the football. And his quarterback was put in a position to succeed this year. And it's only 2 games in. But he's taken that step. And I look at Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts could be a damn good quarterback in this league. I've always rooted for him because he's a consummate professional. I've always wanted him to do well, and there's been a lot of times even Alabama doubted him. And we saw what he did at Oklahoma, and he was a Heisman finalist. But that dude, and he's told this to me before when I was at the Heisman Trophy presentation, and I know he didn't win it, went to Joe Burrow that year, but he said, I will always bet on myself. So he has that confidence. He has that swagger. And there's zero reason why he should fail this year, because he has a damn good team. And I was leading the charge at the draft in April. Eagles going to win the division. Eagles going to win the division. I didn't even think they could be this good. Because you look at their schedule. That schedule for the Eagles, there's only one team that really scares you, and it's the Packers. Other than that, and I still think they could beat Green Bay. There's not a game on that schedule you look at and you go, oh, they can't win. This Eagles team showed you last night that they could be a top four team in the NFC, and they could be better than that. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. The sky's the limit for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. And the only thing you wonder going into the season about Philadelphia is what the quarterback would do. I'm not ready to tell you that Jalen Hurts is going to be Hall of Famer. I'm not ready to tell you that Jalen Hurts is going to be a longtime quarterback in Philadelphia. But right now, I'm ready to say that Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. You know, we'll do the poll question now. Jalen Hurts, that's my answer, is a good quarterback. I'm not a doubter anymore. I'm not saying, hey, I'm not a non-believer. They'll have someone else next year. But the dude made the playoffs last year, and many people thought they were winning in spite of him. But this year, they are showing that they could win because of him. Because the way he ran the football last night, and injuries are always a concern, but he ran the football efficiently, bulldozing through the defense, making the Vikings defense look like Swiss cheese, and for the last few years it has been. But he had 2 rushing touchdowns, and then that ball that he threw to Quez Watkins for 52 yards, did a 3-inch for the passing yards last night. Jalen Hurts. He's taken a step. And we've seen quarterbacks, and I know we live in this instant gratification society. You got to be great right away. And if you have one bad game, you stink. But Jalen Hurts has shown improvement. And you know the guy puts in the work. But he has shown improvement already from last year to this year in the first two games of the season. 26 of 31 last night, 333 yards. Throwing the football. Dude's a damn good quarterback. And I wish him nothing but the best. I want to see him succeed. Because the way that he handled that situation in Alabama, which they were right to go to Tua, and no one would fault them for that, but the way that he handled it with class and with grace, and he was supportive, and then eventually got on the field in that SEC title game the year later, after getting replaced at halftime of a national championship game, and you then get on the field a year later, and you beat the team, Georgia, that Tua, you got replaced, and they beat Georgia in that title game. That was a wonderful story. And to reestablish yourself at Oklahoma was also special, to be a Heisman finalist. So I said coming out of college, I'd take him in the second round, I'd take him in the third round, take a flyer on him because you know he's going to put in the work. You know he's going to be motivated. And we've seen some flashes from him. That Eagles decision, even though it was very controversial at the time, take him in the second round, it's paying off in a big way. Because with Jalen Hurts, there's a thought he could be the guy in Philadelphia for years to come. We'll see if it happens. But if you're an Eagles fan, through two games, it's all you could ask is that you think you have the guy. And now you get to face the old guy, Carson Wentz, this weekend on Sunday. I can't wait for that game. Carson Wentz up against Jalen Hurts. Oh, that's going to be fun Sunday in Maryland between the Commanders and the Eagles. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. What was your biggest takeaway from last night? I think there's four takeaways, but which one was the biggest? Tennessee, they stink, but AFC South, still winnable because that division's awful. Eagles, Hurts looking really damn good. Buffalo, looking like the best team in the league. And then you get to Minnesota. I think that's what Minnesota's going to be this year. Up and down, but that offense, even though they didn't show up last night against a good Philadelphia team, shows you that they're not in the best of the best of the NFC, but with what they did in week one up against Green Bay, who is one of the best of the best in the NFC, so that's like the conflicting emotions. I do think Minnesota is going to have more wins than losses at the end of the year, and 9-8 right there, smudge above 500, will find a way to get you into the postseason this year. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, on social media at Zach Gelb. Instagram, Twitter, all that jazz coming on back after these short messages.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. Last night in football, a blowout way to end week two. Buffalo Bills just opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Tennessee Titans. And then the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts said, yeah, Justin Jefferson, you're not going to gritty in this end zone. Darius Slay with the monster game as well as the Philadelphia Eagles assert their dominance over the Minnesota Vikings. Just real quickly, because it's only Tuesday, so we don't want to dabble into these games too much. But the schedule, excuse me, as my audio player was up next to me as I was doing some video during the break. But the schedule for next week, Steelers at the Browns, that's a Thursday night game. Now, Myles Garrett's on the injury report, so we'll see if he's going to play. Jadeveon Clowney already ruled out for that game. Mitch Trubisky is starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this could be his last start. Now, Steelers could win this game. Cleveland's a 4.5-point favorite. I would not touch that number. But if he does not play well in the offense struggles, the Jets then are in week four. Why wouldn't you simply go to Kenny Pickett? I don't think there's any upside to play Mitch Trubisky anymore. Texans, Bears, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Who cares? That's like the battle of who could be worse. Raiders, Titans, a lot of intrigue. One of those teams going to go to 0-3. Raiders blew that 20-0 lead last week. And Tennessee just got destroyed on Monday Night Football. Chiefs and Colts. If you're a Colts fan, whew, And you thought maybe you get a cupcake game, even though you just got blown out by the Jaguars. You thought that was your cupcake game. Coming off that loss, you just need something. Yeah, I have no hope for you going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Bills-Dolphins going to be an excellent game. Could be the best game of the weekend. Lions-Vikings, intrigue there. Vikings coming off a loss. Lions coming off a win. Ravens-Patriots, bounce back spot. If you're Lamar Jackson, how are you going to respond after that brutal loss where you choked that game away? Miami, 2 through 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Patriots now saved their season for now. Offense, though, still struggling. We'll see what transpires between the Ravens and the Pats. Bengals-Jets. Bengals lost to the Jets last year. I got to think the Bengals get their first victory of the season. Eagles-Commanders. Little Carson Wentz action up against Jalen Hurts. Saints-Panthers. Panthers need a win in a worse way. Jameis Winston playing with all those fractures in his back. Saints, they're 1-1. Get that victory in week one. And then in week two, they lose to Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 20-10. Jaguars-Chargers. Love the Chargers this week, especially with extra rests. Rams-Cardinals. All right, Kyler, you win a game. Now can you go win two? Falcons-Seahawks, PU. Packers-Buccaneers, excellent, excellent, excellent game. And 49ers-Broncos, all eyes are going to be on Russell Wilson. And now Jimmy G going to be back under center with Trey Lance out for the end. The Monday Night Football, there'll be some excitement there for the first time in a long time in MetLife Stadium, Cowboys and the Giants. So the two best games this weekend on paper, Packers and Buccaneers, and then also the Bills and the Dolphins. And I'm actually more excited for Bills and Dolphins, even though probably for sure Packers and Bucs is guaranteed to be a good game. I want to see if the Dolphins, who have impressed already, beat the Pats with Belichick. Then last week, we know the comeback in the fourth quarter. Now you're going up against the best team in the league. If you could keep it close, I know you don't take moral victories, but you have to feel good about yourself because that's been a Bills team. I know they're inside the AFC East. They beat you up pretty good the last few years. If you get blown out, though, even with the speed of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, maybe then people start to wonder what the Dolphins are again. But the Dolphins, we thought we were going to have that conversation through three quarters up against the Ravens. They turned that thing around. So those are probably the two best games of the weekend, Bills and Dolphins, and then the Packers and the Bucs, just to give you a little taste of the Week 3 slate with that starting on Thursday night on Prime Video, Steelers and the Browns. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Matt in Idaho next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Matt, what's shaking?
Hey, Zach, thanks for taking my call. I love your show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I listen to it almost every night.
Thank you.
I think the Bills was the most impressive. I'll be really quick. I'm a Josh Allen fan, homer, went to Wyoming, graduated there. Everybody in Wyoming loves the guy. Bills Mafia since 2018. But we always get the Colts and Denver games around here. And
my condolences this year.
Peyton Manning, how he just takes the game over, and you just have this certain optimism that he's going to win the game like Peyton did, you know, like every time he throws the ball, you think it's going to be a reception. And I think that the Bills and Allen and that defense and just how Allen's playing right now, I think that that's just way more impressive than anything else.
Well, Matt, they should win the Super Bowl. On paper, they're the best team. Mahomes, can he go have a big moment against them? Absolutely. He's still a video game. Can Brady put up a great fight and take them down in a Super Bowl? Absolutely. But on paper, I think they're the most well-rounded team in the league, and we know how great that quarterback could be. Since you said you watched him play at Wyoming, because I didn't see much of him in college, and that's why I wasn't ready to shred him and bury him right at the draft, just because I haven't seen much of him. I know a lot of times in sports media, when you haven't seen someone, you just automatically assume that the guy is going to be bad because you go to a college that necessarily doesn't produce a quarterback that you think Josh Allen would end up being. But when he was at Wyoming, what kind of quarterback did you see when you look at the stat line in his 3 years there? I know he really only played two seasons, had over 5,000 yards and 44 touchdowns and 21 interceptions.
Well, we all knew we had something special. And I can tell you, I saw his last game here in Boise against the Chippewas. And I know that Elway was here. Everybody was here watching that game. And he had some absolutely amazing throws. Now, he was streaky, and we didn't have the players that could get separation against the Oregon players and all that. Even though we did have Hollister, and Bills just cut a Wyoming player from their practice squad. But, you know, when you only have a couple good receivers, they just can't get separation. But, you know, we knew. I mean, we knew he had a cannon. It was just unreal watching him play. And like you said, we don't have, you know, we'll never get a national championship or anything like that. But we've got Josh Allen, the best quarterback in the league right now, we think. But we knew from the very start. And interestingly enough, you know, they're talking about him getting hurt and stuff. He actually only played half a season, his junior season, because he did break his collarbone when he rushed, when he got out of the pocket and ran. So there is that possibility. A lot of people don't talk about that, but he was injured half a season for Wyoming. That's why his stat line was a little bit dicey.
Yeah, hey, whatever you thought about him, and you got to see him from the beginning, so that's cool when you have someone that's unidentified and you believe in him and then you see him turn out to be a stud. But most of the nation could never have seen this coming. If that was the case, if the scouts thought this was the case, he would have never lasted to the 7th pick in the draft. You remember Baker Mayfield, and thanks for the phone call, Matt, and the kind words. Remember Baker Mayfield goes 1 in that draft. You had Sam Darnold go 3. And look how those two guys' careers turned out. It just shows you, we really don't know what we're talking about with quarterbacks. Like, Lamar Jackson was 32 in that draft. Lamar Jackson's won a unanimous MVP in this league. So these quarterbacks, and how many times we think someone's going to be great and they aren't great, or the organizations fail them, the thing that stands out to me is they developed Josh Allen in Buffalo. Like, but Josh Allen, from what you read and what you heard, he's always had the arm. Right away, you saw that video of that monster arm that he had and the way he threw the football, but then there was accuracy problems. He had the right coaching. When you see Daboll and McDermott and the right organization, which was a bad organization for a while, but they started to change the narrative, and you need a guy like Josh Allen to change the narrative. And Brandon Bean's done a heck of a job in the draft. Joe Shane did a really good job as their AGM. So you got to give credit to Dorsey, to Daboll, to McDermott, Bean. You know, these guys, they did a nice job, a very nice job in going out there and developing this guy. Because it wasn't that pretty right away. And when it's not that pretty right away, then people start to turn quickly, and they've shut a lot of people up. And Sal Capaccio is the Bill Slavin report. He joined us a few moments ago, or more than a few moments ago, back in the first hour of the show. And he said, you can make an argument right now that Josh Allen's the best player in the league. And you could definitely make that argument. You think about the best quarterbacks in the league, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, those are your top four. Order them whichever way you want. Outside of that, like, Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in the league. But if you ask me for the next 5 years, and I don't think Donald, but if they were the same age, you ask me if I'd rather have Josh Allen or Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's one of the best defensive players of all time. I'd rather have Josh Allen. It's because of the position he plays. And you know, in this league, you either have the quarterback or you don't. And if you have the quarterback, you're a fat kid at a candy store. You're in the penthouse. You're in football royalty. But if you don't have the quarterback, then it is ugly. And you get to football purgatory. 855-212-4CBS. Owen in Baltimore next up on CBS Sports Radio. Owen, what's shaking?
What's up? I like the Brown.
Owen.
Yeah, I said I like the Cleveland Browns.
That's what you're calling in to just say you like the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
What do you like about the Cleveland Browns?
I like the dog house, the dog pound.
Yeah. Are you a Browns fan?
No, I'm a Ravens and a Chiefs fan.
Wait, so you're a Ravens fan who roots for the Browns?
Yeah. I want the Browns to beat the Steelers. The Steelers is our rival.
But you also know that the Browns could also be your rival because they play in the same division.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't think they're gonna beat us.
Okay, that's fine this year. I would not be concerned about either team right now if I'm the Baltimore Ravens, because the Steelers don't have a quarterback that's playing currently. We'll see what Kenny Pickett is, and the Browns don't have Deshaun Watson until week 13. So why are you concerned about those two teams?
I don't know.
Well, hey, if my team blew a lead like that in the fourth quarter, I'd be concerned about a lot of things, too. And that's what the Ravens did. So thanks for the phone call, Owen. What did he say when he called up Carlos Ortiz? Because I don't have my guy Hot Take Hickey screening those phone calls tonight. So I don't know what your kind of thought process is on the call screening.
So he initially called in to say that he liked the Browns over the Steelers this weekend. with the 4.5.
Okay.
But then he just made it very general.
Okay. And you put him through.
only the best for you, Zach.
Yeah, I guess so. What are you eating, by the way? I'm always intrigued what the producers eat. So I either try to eat before the show or after the show. And I'm conflicted right now because I usually always eat after the show. And I started to change it up because I just hate how late it is to then go eat. But Hickey eats the same thing every night. It's just some form of pasta. It's like pasta with marinara sauce, pasta with pesto, pasta with chicken. It's always pasta with Hot Take Hickey. So what are you eating? Because I saw you kind of abuse your producing powers tonight, and you had someone run downstairs and go get your food, Mr. Big Time Carlos Ortiz.
Now. First of all, I never am one to big time anybody.
You did tonight.
No, I
first
went in,
time producing.
I went in hat in hand. I'm like, please do me this favor. Like, hands outstretched. I give you a
that hug.
I can't leave the booth. So I had to have somebody go down there and get the food for me.
I don't know about that.
But I am eating a burrito bowl because I also did not eat before the show, and I also was torn. I'm like, do I want to eat after? By the time I get out of here, everything's closed.
Burrito bowl?
Yeah, burrito bowl.
Are you going to pull? I'm not knocking the selection. What do you have in the burrito bowl?
Oh, I got some steak, some queso.
Double steak?
No.
You're a double steak guy.
Not at these prices. Not in this economy.
Oh, come on. $5 for double steak. So what do you get? Rice?
Yeah, rice, black beans, tomatoes, salsa of the green and the tomato variety. Ooh. And I got to get that queso blanco. Like, it just
I love it.
It melts everything together to a nice cesspool of deliciousness.
No guac?
No, you can't have guac and queso because then it's like, then it just becomes a soup, and I don't want that.
Yeah, I can't have guacamole, period.
Why?
If I have more than a scoop of guacamole, I get really sick.
We've been doing this show for almost 4 hours, and you just dropped this now? This should have been headline news at 6.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a bad job out of me. I dropped the ball just like how Tennessee dropped the ball all night last night.
Or the Colts defense giving me 0 points for fantasy. Thanks, Hickey.
They really gave you 0 points?
A big fat donut or a bagel if you're not in the mood for that.
Wait, hold on. I dropped the Colts this week in fantasy.
I should have.
But they got me like 4 points or something.
No, my league scoring is weird. We don't care about that.
Gotcha. So real quickly, I was going somewhere with the food. Oh, yeah, the guacamole, for some reason, if I have more than one little scoop of guacamole, I get, like, really sick. Like, out for the count.
That sucks.
I don't know what. I had something to ask you, and now I forget what I had to ask you.
So here for another 20.
Yeah, it seems like it's a perfect time, then, to take a break.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Two quick things before we get to the closing bell. Numero uno, the poll question tonight, which is a pregunta, right? Isn't question pregunta?
It is pregunta.
Right? You're impressed by that. I know some Spanish. I know un poquito español, Carlos Ortiz.
Oh, that's good because I know a little bit too.
Yeah, I think you know more than just a little bit. I know how to say I need a car for 5 people in Spanish.
Is there a particular reason why it's 5? Like, what if it's like 4 or 6?
Well, I was once in Mexico and needed a car for 5 people, and I knew some Spanish from high school, so I used my my background in Espanol, in la clase de Espanol. I said, yo necesito una coche por 5 personas.
Look at you. You're a regular Rico Suave.
Yeah, if you want to say that. So here's the pregunta tonight. I don't have the accent like you.
Well, that's because I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
it kind of comes with the territory.
Can you say pregunta one more time?
Pregunta.
Oh, I like that. Where is your belief level at with Jalen Hurts? Now, can you put that question into Espanol?
Absolutely not.
Okay. are you being serious?
No, I'm being dead serious. Like, my Spanish is conversational. Like,
oh, gotcha.
To do a sports show? No way.
Yeah, gotcha. I did see the guy that works for ESPN Deportes last night was interviewing Jalen Hurts after the game, and I always loved that. Remember the Gronk Yo Soy Fiesta, which that means I am party,
yeah.
Right?
Literally, I am party.
Yeah. So I love that stuff. But the poll question tonight, where's your belief level at with Jalen Hurts? Franchise QB, good QB, not a believer. 12.2% say not a believer. 33.9% say franchise QB. And 53.9% say good quarterback. I'm in the good quarterback camp right now when it comes to Jalen Hurts. So before the break, you were telling me about this burrito bowl that you had, correcto mundo?
Correcto.
What kind of burrito bowl was it again? Refresh everyone's memory.
All right.
Steak, queso, blanco, and...
Yep. So we had brown rice, we had tomato salsa, we had green salsa.
You know, you son of a bitch.
I was hungry. What do you want to do?
Because I'm supposed to have a protein shake after this and be healthy.
Mmm, yummy.
Yeah, and now I'm going to be thinking about the burrito bowl.
Well, you could think about it while having your yummy protein shake.
Yeah, but
you could will it into existence.
I'm a fat kid at heart.
This protein shake tastes exactly like a burrito bowl.
So you had a burrito bowl.
Indeed, I did.
Be honest with me. And you know, on that side of the glass... there's a lot of farts that are sometimes getting ripped because Mraz is on that side of the glass.
Yeah, I'm glad that this is a one-man booth.
Have you been passing a little gas
on
the other side of the glass?
No, and listen, I'm not ashamed to let everybody know if I did it or not. I'm, for whatever reason, I'm self-contained.
So that's what I wanted to ask you when you were describing your burrito bowl, because last night, a dear friend of mine, a guy that I used to put on the air when I was at 9:20 the a.m. In New Jersey, the Jersey they call that station, Dan Orlovsky and I, we used to have many, many, many conversations. I even talked to him yesterday, and I'm very happy I talked to Dan, who had a terrible take that he puts ranch on his wings, which is just horrendous. You got to put blue cheese on your wings.
Blue cheese all the way.
Yeah, 1,000%. But I'm very happy that I talked to him before he may or may not have passed gas, because I don't know if I would have been able to help myself. I was talking to him, and I would have had to get into the talk show host mode and find out what actually happened. But this was on Monday Night Football last night, Orlovsky in the booth, and this happened.
Now, the big change is the commitment to running the football.
So when I first heard that, Carlos, I thought he just tripped over his words. And he just made the noise, like how everyone's done that, right?
Wait, he didn't?
A lot of people think he had a little passing of the gas there.
No, there's no way those mics are that good that they can pick it up.
I don't know. Now, I think we've all been there, if you're in this business, where you pass some gas. Or you have like a little stomach growl.
No, I'm calling shenanigans.
Now, I want you to re-listen, because at first, and to be fair, I've not asked Dan about this yet, but at first, I thought it was he just stumbled over his words and then just let out a with his tongue. Listen back. Here's my theory. I think he sneezed, and when he sneezed, that's what the hiccup was, that it all just came out, and he tooted a little bit. That's just my theory. Listen back up from the beginning.
Now, the big change is the commitment to running the football.
When he, whatever noise he makes the first time, the big, I think he sneezed. And then once he sneezed, it just all started flowing for one day, Dan Orlovsky. You don't think so?
No, I'm thinking he stumbled over a word, so he's like, he's talking about, the big change is, bleh. I'm thinking he did something like that. He just blurted it out.
Okay. Plausible. That's what I thought at first. But when I listened back to it, I thought that was a sneeze into a fart.
You'd have to have a second mic.
I don't know.
It sounded too clear.
Yeah, it does sound very crystal clear. Maybe they mic up in weird places there at ESPN. I don't work for that company, so I don't know.
You know what? Now we're on to something here.
Places.
Now we got to find out how many mics are they using.
All right, we're not going to have time for the closing bell. I will say, though, one of the most overblown things I've ever seen was yesterday. So Kyler Murray, when you have the walk-off touchdown and Murphy scoops up the football and takes it to the house, and he almost turned over the football right before he got into the end zone. He almost fumbled, dropped that ball, and it would have went out of the back of the end zone, and the Raiders would have won. But Kyler Murray goes over, and I guess he's celebrating with the friend. It looks like he knows the person that he's celebrating with. And then naturally, there's other fans there. So they start trying to touch Kyler Murray and celebrate with Kyler Murray. And all of a sudden, I see this video of Kyler Murray getting into an argument with the fan. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And then I find out yesterday there's a police investigation. So I'm watching this video, and I went back and slowed it down yesterday. And I go, what police investigation? The fan is clearly trying to, like, slap Kyler Murray on the shoulder pads or be like, yeah, good job in celebrating. And by mistake, the fan hit Kyler Murray in the face. But I didn't think there was any malicious intent. So earlier today on the Jim Rome show, Byron Murphy, who scooped up the game-winning the fumble and got the game-winning score, he was asked about it by the legendary Jim Rome about this whole Kyler Murray altercation. Listen up.
Yeah, I seen the video. I'm glad I wasn't right there because I don't know what I would have did. You know, that's my quarterback. I'm going to protect anybody on my team. But looking at the video, it kind of was weird. I don't know why he would do something like that. You obviously don't know the reasoning behind it. I don't know if he was trying to hit his shoulder pads or what he was trying to do, but it was obviously hit him right in the face. So, you know, to that guy, that wasn't a good look for him as well. But, you know, that's the type of thing we can't really, you know, take control of. But we're definitely looking at that video still to this day.
You can keep on looking at the video. I don't see how anyone looks at that video and thinks that that fan tried to punch Kyler Murray in the face. There was another angle where they really slowed it down. Like, slowed it down as slowly as you can. And it's so clear that the fan is trying to, like, smack Murray on the shoulder pads because they're celebrating in the stands and by mistake hits him in the face.
I love how we're analyzing this like it's the JFK assassination video.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And the fact that Kyler Murray or his camp didn't watch the video again and I'm assuming they did watch the video again and went through with this and just took him for his word is ridiculous. If I would have done the closing bell, I would have given a stock up to Bills fans, Jalen Hurts, Eli Manning for going incognito as a recruit, as a quarterback for Penn State, Marv Levy, what an entrance that was last night, and also would have given a stock up to Keith Yandel, Zdeno Chara, and PK Subban, who all did retire today. Now, the stock downs would have been Kirk Cousins, the AFC South, and whoever's marinating chicken in NyQuil. Yeah, that's happening. And there had to be a memo sent out today to not do that. Anyway, big thanks to Alex Anzalone, Michael Carter, and also Sal Capaccio, Carlos Ortiz as well. Talk to me now, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.